It means that we, since we have the anointing, we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Word of God, it means that we should never, no, never, no, never fall prey to any false teaching, any false doctrine, or any person that would lead us away doctrinally from Christ Jesus. Amen?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, good day and welcome. Let's get right into the study today and join Pastor Bill for the conclusion to the message, Real Truth, as a series from the Epistle of 1 John continues.
I encourage us now, because if you don't think we're in revolution, we are in revolution in this nation. Go back and listen to what the Lord gave me. We're in revolution right now. Matter of fact, did you know we're in the beginning of revolution in the world? Oh, this is going to be an exciting, exciting time, loved one. And here's what we must do. You must, I must, all of us, this church, let us reawaken the anointing that has already been placed in you by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? So let's wake up and let's do what God tells us to do. Amen? Now, where am I at? Verse 21. I have not written to you to inform you. Okay, I added that. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, meaning they know it as a fact. They know God's word, and that no lie is of the truth. And so the false teachers and the Gnostics were trying to teach them this is true, but it was a lie. Now, so the sixth truth for the last hour is this. No matter how appealing someone's teaching is, no matter how intelligent it may sound or sensational or attractive, you know, listen, no lie is of the truth. Amen? You can sit in a college class and listen to a professor who is a good person, and man, he's very well spoken and he's gentle, and he'll start teaching you about evolution as truth, not theory, but as truth. Evolution is a lie. You know why we know it's a lie? It contradicts the word of the living God. Amen? Were we created in the image of an animal? Some of us still act like that. No. We were created in the image of God, remember from Genesis? And not only that, you know, like for example, when Adam in Genesis, what is it? One, it's in the Bible, Genesis something. Whenever God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, remember that? Think about that. The word formed there means that he took the dust of the ground like an artist and he formed Adam. Adam, when Adam was formed, loved one, he wasn't formed as a little boy. Only there was only one baby that came, Jesus. Adam, God formed him as man, the first man. Amen? Now think about that. There he is. He's laying on the ground, I guess, in the dust of the earth, and God had put him all together, put his lungs in there, the heart, all the blood vessels, those big toes, little toes, fingers, you know, eyes, brain, maybe, brain, and, you know, ears, all those things. But Adam was dead. There was no life in Adam. He looked like a man. You would say that is a man lying there, but he had no life in him. Why? God had to do something. God had to lean over, and it says he breathed into the nostrils of Adam the breath of life. And Adam became a living being, a living soul. All of a sudden, his heart started beating. His eyes opened up. The first thing he saw was God. Think about that. Man. So, you know, no matter how attractive a lie is, it's not true, loved one. We have to be wise. Now look at the next part here in verse 22 about a big lie. Who is, it shouldn't say a, it should be the, meaning a specific liar. Who is the liar? But he who disowns, he who rejects, he who denies that Jesus Christ is what? The Christ, the anointed one, fully God, fully man, perfect God, the God-man. Whoever denies that, look at these words, he is number one Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. So the seventh truth in the last hour, okay, is that it tells us who a liar is. Anyone in the world, anyone in the church, anyone in Bible college, anyone in government, doesn't really matter, brother, sister, friend, whatever, Who is a liar? Anyone that denies that Jesus Christ is not God and that he did not come in the flesh. He is Antichrist. He's a liar. 2 John 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an Antichrist. Verse 23, now whoever denies or rejects the Son does not have the Father either. He who confesses or acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So this is the eighth truth that John is giving them. To deny the Son is equally true that you then deny the Father, okay? That's what he's saying. You know, you as well as I know that you've heard many people say, well, I believe in God. I believe in a higher being, or I believe in that God exists. But I don't necessarily believe that there was one man that died 2,000 years ago on some unknown hill in the Middle East, and he died for my sins and the sins for the whole world. That's just a little bit too much for me, okay? You've heard it. I've heard that as well. But here's the problem with that. You may say that, which makes you a liar, but also you can't have Jesus without God the Father, and you can't have God the Father without Jesus. Amen? Jesus said in John 10:30, he said, I and the Father are one. John 15:23, Jesus said, he who hates me, if you don't like me, you hate my Father. John 5:23, he who does not honor the Son, you don't honor my Father who sent me. 2 John 9, whoever transgresses does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. What did Jesus tell us in Matthew 10:30, what, 2? He says, whoever denies me on earth, I'll deny him before the Father. Whoever confesses me, I'll confess him before the Father. Amen? Well, so he says there in verse 24 then, he says, therefore, based on everything we've learned, let that abide in you. Now John issues a command, an imperative in the Greek, okay? So he's commanding. He says, you must let that truth that you just heard remain in your hearts. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. And what did they hear from the beginning? John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, okay? The God-man. And what you heard from the beginning abides or remains or lives in you, that sound doctrine, that sound teaching, okay? You will also abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has, past tense, that he has promised, eternal life. This is the promise that he has promised. The ninth truth, real truth, for the last hour that they were living in and we are living in is this: God our Father never breaks his promises. Never. In other words, 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises of God are yes, and again I say yes, amen, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Every promise. Titus 1:2, God cannot lie. Listen, I say, dear Lord, eternal life. You're not going to get eternal life. You already have eternal life right now if you're born again. Amen? It's already there. It's already a done deal, loved one. And so we know that eternal life, can you earn it? Can you be good enough to get it? You sure? Well, because how do we know that, though? See, we go to the truth. The truth of says this, that it can never be earned because eternal life is a gift. It's a gift. You believe in Jesus and you have his life in you, and his life is eternal. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And you have that living in you right this minute. Verse 26, these things I've written to you concerning those, talking about those who deny that Jesus Christ is 100% man, 100% God, okay? He says, those who try to deceive you, to steal that truth out of your heart, they're those savage wolves, if you will, wolves in sheep clothing, who try to deceive you, and I love 27, but the contrast now, but the anointing which you have received from him, what? Abides, that means it remains in you forever, and you do not need that anyone teach you. What does he mean? Well, first of all, I'll clear that up in a minute, but what he's meaning right here in context is you don't need anyone to teach you a bunch of lies. Amen? You don't need any of the teaching that they're trying to deceive you about Jesus. And he says, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning how many things? All things. Is the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth? Okay, then everything he says and is true is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. The tenth truth. We have right now the greatest teacher in the universe living in our hearts right now. And may I tell you that the Spirit of truth, is he eternally reliable? Yes. Will he ever lead you astray? Will he ever tell you a lie? No, but he will teach you the truth. Oh man, listen, John 16:13. It says, however, Jesus said, when he, meaning the Spirit of truth, our divine helper, it says, when he has come, he will lead you, he will guide you into all truth. He'll make every page, if you allow him, every page on the Bible light up and become living in your heart, if you really want that, because he wants that for us, amen? So Jesus said, John 14:17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot welcome or receive, because it neither sees him or knows him, because the world, remember, lives by sight, not by faith. It says, but you know him. Do you know the Holy Spirit? Well, it's important because you know him. For he, the Holy Spirit, is a person. He will be with you. He will be with you. He will be in you. The Holy Spirit is with us right now. The Holy Spirit is in us right now. He loves us. Did you know that the Holy Spirit loves you? I believe it's, what is it, Romans 15:20, 15:30? He loves you. Oh man, I think God is so good. Now listen, I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to listen very carefully. John said that you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit already in you, and you know all things, and that you do not need anyone to teach you. Boy, what does that mean? Christians, do we need anyone to kind of teach us God's word? It just said right there, we don't need any. It said you don't need anyone that to teach you. What does that mean? It means that to the reader then and to we, the reader now, it means that we, since we have the anointing, we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Word of God, it means that we should never, no, never, no, never fall prey to any false teaching, any false doctrine, or any person that would lead us away doctrinally from Christ Jesus. Amen? And you know why? Because if that happens to Christians who are obedient, not to read 5,000 books. There's nothing wrong with that. Christian books, okay, help books. Go to seminary, nothing wrong with that either. But it's for a believer who is obedient to Romans 12:1-2. A believer who has not only presented his body as a living sacrifice unto God, which is his reasonable service. However, it says, but be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Now listen, when you renew your mind to the living Word of God, it's truth. And you know, you may be reading it and say, I just read it and I forgot what I read, but I'm telling you, it still works. Amen? And all of a sudden, you'll hear a teaching on a TV, you'll hear teaching on Christian TV or a radio, or you'll go to a certain meeting and that man who's in the pulpit may say something, or whoever's in the pulpit, and all of a sudden, it's like an alarm clock, a bomb goes off inside of you and you go, that wasn't right. I need to listen to that again. That can't be right. And you know why it can't be right? It's because I have the Spirit of truth in me, and the Spirit of truth has taught me the Word of God. Why? Because I have been obedient to renew my mind to God's Word. Amen? Well, that is so, so important. Loved one, listen, you have the anointing living in you right now. Right now. Every believer, right this minute. And how many times, really, come on, have you ever heard, I've heard this, Chris, I don't really need to come to church because, you know, I have the Holy Spirit and he's my teacher and he's going to teach me all things. I don't need a teacher, you know, especially you. Is that a true word? No, listen to me. You know, look at verse 24. John says, let what you heard, meaning the Bible, the preaching, let what you heard from the beginning live in you, okay? Well, number one, where did they hear? Who did they hear it from? Unless somebody was teaching, amen? Did Jesus teach the Word of God? Whenever he went to the synagogues, did he teach the Word of God? Absolutely. Jesus said, John 8:31-32, you shall know the truth, the truth will set you free. So, loved one, listen, this is very, very important right here. Now, how do we grow in God's Word? Well, right now, you're sitting and you're listening to me and you're probably going, Bill, don't go long. Please don't go long. Please don't go long. And I don't want to go long. But faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. You know, sometimes I can be down. And all of a sudden, if I'm, you know, I have like radio, the Christian radio on the way in here, or maybe at home or whatever, or just listening to online something, immediately when I hear the Word of God, even though I may be in a funk, okay, I'm just, suddenly it just starts feeding me. And it starts picking me up because the Word of God is alive, it is living, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, amen? And it helps us. And so teaching, oh, loved one, it's important. Listen, you know, whenever Jesus restored Peter, remember there in John 21 at the very end, the resurrected Christ, you know, cooked him dinner and so forth, and then he went to Peter and says, Peter, here's what I want you to do. I want you to kill my little lambs. Did he say that? No, well, at least you know the truth. He said, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Amen. What does that mean? It means to teach the living Word of God. If you read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it's to every generation of Christians and to every pastor who will ever stand in the pulpit. Paul says, I charge you, therefore, before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in kingdom. Here comes 9 commands. Timothy, he's talking to us too. You, me, preach the word. How much of the word are we to preach? All the word, all the Bible. Preach the word. He says, oh, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke with all long suffering and teaching. Why? Well, the time's going to come when the professing Christians, the church, they don't want to endure. That word means tolerate. They will no longer tolerate healthy teaching. They're going to turn their hearts away from fables. Loved one, did Jesus tell us in Matthew 28:20 and so forth, did he tell us to go into all the world? Baptizing, making disciples, and teaching them. Okay, so we're to teach, amen? Did Jesus give to the church Hebrews? I sound like Porky Pig. Did you catch that? I'm going to get it. I'm deep, deep, deep. I'm sorry. Ephesians 4:11, that when Jesus ascended, he gave gifts unto men or unto the church, prophets, evangelists, and goes on down and says, pastor, teachers. Sheep need to be in church. Sheep need to be connected. We all need to be taught the Word of God. Amen? Yes. Amen. So we've got that down. Now, where are we at? Let's look at it together. We're going to close this, and we're going to celebrate communion maybe. Verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him. Now, if we abide in him, that means we're going to walk in the light as he's in the light. If we abide in him, we're going to walk as Jesus walked. Amen? It says, abide in him that when he appears. Now, I'm taking this as the imminent return of the Lord, speaking of the rapture, not the second coming. When he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now, I don't want to be ashamed of Jesus, myself, before the Lord. I want to have confidence. The word ashamed means to shrink back. And meaning that it's not a matter of salvation, it's a matter of our unfaithfulness before the Lord. See, you are anointed. I am anointed. I didn't do it. God has done it. Every one of you, you have a calling on your life. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be a plumber, carpenter, a lawyer, a doctor. You know what? Come on, I'm teasing. Whatever. You know, you support your priesthood by what you do in life. Amen? But all of us are priests unto the Lord. All of us are soul winners. We're called to win the lost. Amen? So we all have a ministry, and you're anointed to do that. You don't have any. You got everything that you need, loved one. And he says, you don't want to be ashamed before his coming. Now, if you know that he's righteous, and Jesus, we know he is, then if we belong to him, then everyone who knows him, we're going to practice a lifestyle of righteousness as well. So the last truth for the last hour, we have an anointing and we know all things, it says, but we're not omniscient, are we? No, but we know all things, but there's a lot that we don't know. I mean, we don't know when Jesus is coming, and Jesus is coming. We don't have a clue when he's coming. We do not know, loved one, that hour, you know, when the rapture, the catching away of the church is going to occur. There are those that say there's not going to be a rapture. And you know what? I love them. I respect them. And they're entitled to their theological view. But I believe with all my heart that we could be caught away with any moment. I also believe that the Bible teaches that. I always tell people that don't believe in the catch a wing in the church, I want you to tell me, what are we going to do with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and following? What are we going to do with John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3? What are we going to do with that? If what are we going to do, especially with the scripture I'm getting ready to read to you now? It says in 1 Corinthians 15:50, Paul, he says, hey, I say this, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, corruption nor corruption inherit incorruption. And then he goes, behold, he says, listen carefully, behold, I tell you a mystery. A mystery from God is something that wasn't revealed. Man could not reveal it. It had to be revealed by God, okay? It says, behold, I tell you a mystery, a truth, okay? He says, we shall not all sleep, meaning we're not all going to die, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's a process. It's instant, in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet, that's a catching away of the church, and the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and then after that, we shall all be changed. Listen, that's not the second coming. Amen? The second coming has to do with Israel. The rapture has to do with the church. At second coming, Jesus comes with his saints. In the rapture, he comes for his saints. When he comes, he catches us up into the air at the rapture. At the second coming, his feet come and touch down where? On the Mount of Olives. Totally two different things. Now, with all that being said, I say, Lord, there's going to be a generation. We don't have to buy a casket. No flowers, no tears. Think about it. I mean, we're just like we are right now. Just right now, instantly, suddenly, in the twinkling of an eye, we're changed. Man, that's going to happen to some generation. Some generation will experience that. And it may be us, I don't know. But I do know this. Those who say, remember how they say, and I don't want to get off on this, but they say, well, Bill, that trumpet. That when that trumpet sounds, that's a trump. We're talking about the last trumpet in Revelation or Revelation 11, that seventh trumpet. Loved one, everything in Revelation has to do with the judgment of the world. Amen? I mean, listen, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 1:10 that we're to wait for God's Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, who, even Jesus, who delivers us from, ek in the Greek, out of, we don't go through it, from the wrath to come. We're not due the wrath of God. We're not due the wrath of God. Amen? No. How about Revelation, I don't know, 3:10, the church at Philadelphia. When Jesus said in that letter that he wrote, he says, that I have delivered you from the hour of trial, from, out of the hour of trial that's going to come upon the whole earth. It's global. The whole earth. The whole earth to test those who live on the earth, the dwellers of the earth. You look up the word, those who live on the earth, the earth dwellers in Revelation, every one of them, every instance is talking about only unbelievers, not the church, loved one. The church is gone. Revelation 4, all the way to 19, it's gone. Amen? Then we come back with him on horses. I'm coming back on the Appaloosa. Not really. I don't know why I said that. Jesus told us, he said in Matthew 24:42, a command, watch, for you do not know, here it comes, what hour, the hour the Lord is coming. We don't know. Now, I know, I can honestly tell you that I know when Jesus is coming. Let me give you the scripture, Matthew 24:44. Jesus said, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. I know when he's coming. He's coming at an hour you do not expect, amen? But I promise you that he's coming. Don't you love the Lord?
Pastor Bill's study continues on tomorrow's program, and we look forward to seeing you once again. We appreciate you listening along with us today, and we pray that the remainder of your day is blessed. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.